Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promoting for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello and welcome to a brand new extra special episode of Tender Loving Care with your host, myself, Pauline, and my darling Kate. Kate and I have decided we cannot not watch the latest in the series of 90 Day Fiancé, which is currently airing, and that it happens to be the original 90 Day Fiancé. As you probably know, our podcast, Tender Loving Care, which is available on all podcasting platforms, there's a new episode each Wednesday. In that episode, we break down a show from the TLC network and the Discovery Plus network, past or present. And then on Fridays, we have a full-on Bravo Housewives episode. But in this episode, we cover purely 90 Day Fiancé. So hello, Kate.
Hello, Pauline.
Woo, really trying to jazz up these entrances and they're not going too well.
I think you nail that intro every time. I'm always like, oh, she sounds so good.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Yes.
Kate, there's definitely something we want to address at the top of the show, you and I, that we've chatted about. So guys, I am just going to get into this. We're recording this on a Monday night, and I just want to talk a little bit about what happened last night in the 90s. It's to do with the 90 Day World and Kate and I and things like that. So Kate, I discussed it a little bit with you over text, but I'm just going to kind of go through what happened. And then we will move on and we will go into the episode and we'll discuss everything 90 Day. So yesterday, last night, probably around 8 or 9 o'clock, I was on Instagram, and we follow Cleo from 90 Day Fiancé The Other Way. Cleo is Italian and she's based in London. There's a beautiful photo of her and her cat. She has two cats that we mentioned a lot that we covered when we did 90 Day Fiancé The Other Way. And I scrolled through, it was a couple of slides, and it was a photo of her and her cat. And then what continued was three more slides with a somewhat of a written statement. And I started to read it. And as I went from slide to slide, I got increasingly more worried. It was a very final note. It, to me, read as someone that was about to end their life. I was very, very disturbed reading it. I instantly looked. She had turned off comments, and it had been posted 59 seconds. Like, literally, it said 59 seconds, a minute beforehand. So I was one of the first people to see it. I saw this, and I don't know Cleo. Kate and I don't know Cleo. We've obviously spoken about her a lot. But it was someone that was leaving a note that was insinuating they were about to do something that could not be reversed. So I desperately tried to think, what can I do as a stranger on the other side of the world right now? I immediately started to, I put a post on our Instagram and tagged TLC. I tagged TLC UK. I tagged Christian, that was her boyfriend. I then decided, I don't know what else, I didn't know what to do, but I knew I had to do something. I went through her friend list and I thought, I'm going to go through this and anyone that looks like a friend, I'm just going to message them that I'm worried. Can you please call Cleo? I don't have her number. I don't have anything like that. So I started to go through. There's a lot of celebrities, as we all do, that we follow. And then people that I knew kind of looked like friends. I did that. There's also cast members I started to message as well. And I said, I'm very concerned. I don't know Cleo, but can you please read this? And can you please get in touch with her if you have her number ASAP? It was 3 o'clock in the morning in England, and that kind of amplified my worry as well, because a 3 a.m. thought is not always the greatest. It was a very, very thorough note, so I was updating on the story, nothing more than to try and get help, to try and hope that somebody that follow us perhaps knows, because we have a lot of the 90-day people that follow us, perhaps someone knows Cleo's number, perhaps someone knows a production member's number. That's what I was thinking, from the UK. Eventually, I started to get some messages back, some from glorious listeners. And thank you so much, everyone that reached out, especially people that were speaking about their own experiences. I won't mention names, but, you know, we had a discussion about your experience with this. And thank you so much for reaching out, one of our listeners in particular. And then I was getting messages back from some of her friends. One was like, I don't know her address. Another person that reached out was actually Nikki from this season of 90 Day Fiancé that we're covering. And Nikki said, I don't want to reveal too much, actually, but I just, for Nikki's privacy and for Cleo's privacy, but Nikki has been in contact with Cleo. I think they have a friendship. And she said, I think she's fine. What was the post? And what I was getting this from a lot of people, and what I had realized has happened is, because the first photo was Cleo with her cat, people were just going on and liking it, and they hadn't gone through the slides and read the notice. So I said, Nikki, you liked it. And she was like, what? And then I said, you need to go back and read it. And she just goes, I didn't even know it was a slide. I didn't read any of that. I just liked it. So then Nikki actually ended up getting on the phone with Jasmine from this season of 90 Day Fiancé as well. And Jasmine had Cleo's information. So I won't go into further kind of their personal business and anything that I don't think Nikki, Jasmine, or Cleo want us to reveal. And I haven't asked them, so I would not discuss their personal business. But we were all messaging and doing anything that we could to try and get someone in touch with Cleo. Of course, we were worried because it was just getting 4 o'clock in the morning, 5 o'clock in the morning in England. Didn't know if she lived alone. Didn't know. There was a lot of mixed messages coming through. So, needless to say, it was a really, really horrendous time, just with the thought that somebody may be doing something very, very serious, and you couldn't fix it. I was just trying to fix it. And I know a lot of people were as well. It's not just me, a lot of her cast members, a lot of friends and family, I'm sure, had seen it. Or it was just such a random time that a lot of people in Europe may have not seen it. You know, she's family in Italy, she's family all over. So I went to bed last night and I just prayed harder than I ever have. And I said, we're going to wake up tomorrow and Cleo is going to be safe and sound. And she is going to be getting the love and health and care and everything that she needs and so deserves. And very, very happy that this morning Cleo did post and she apologized, which she didn't need to, but she apologized for her post and said that she was receiving some healthcare. You can see that on her post. Cleo is getting the help that she needs. And, you know, she said that she feels guilty and she feels embarrassed. And I wrote on behalf of Kate and I said, there's nothing ever to be embarrassed about. And you're loved, you're wanted, you're needed. And so the reason I just wanted to kind of explain it all, because our Instagram story was kind of filled with it. And then one of our listeners, which was very right, I kind of was going through, there was a ton of messages and comments today that I was going through and responding to people. And one person very rightly said, oh, what do you think about, you know, probably deleting those posts? Because I had deleted I'd reposted Cleo's mess, part of her message last night, just to be like, this is serious. Someone needs to get in touch. It was not for gratuity. It wasn't gratuitous. It was putting up there to say, this is very serious. And I was like, absolutely, because Cleo had deleted her post. So I didn't want that in the ether anymore. So went on and deleted it. So you won't see anything about that on our Instagram. But I just wanted to say that in our show notes, Kate and I will be putting places that you can reach out to for help if you are feeling any type of hopeless way. There are always people you can speak to, and there is always help that you can seek out. And just be kind to everyone, and we are very, very happy that this gorgeous woman is with us and receiving help. So I just wanted to kind of get that out there, Kate.
Okay. Thanks for filling me in on all the details. I had heard some of it from you, but thanks for telling me everything. It's true. You never know what someone's going through. You know, it could be someone who really seems to have it all together, and you just never know. So yeah, there are definitely places you can call. That I'm fairly certain you can text. There's numbers to text, right? Yeah,
absolutely.
So yeah, we'll put that in the description if anyone should ever need it.
Yep. And you're all loved, and we just, all we can ever do is spread as much love and kindness as we can in this world, because if we all did that, what a bloody wonderful place it would be, even more so than it is now. So we absolutely love you. Yep, we love you, Cleo. And we are going to, I'm grateful for Nikki as well and Jasmine for responding. They were very proactive as well. So we are going to get into our episode this week, and a little bit of news that, guys, I don't know, listeners, Kate, I've not discussed this with you. I don't know if I am so delayed in knowing this. Do you realize that Big Ed and Liz have completely split up?
If I saw it, I must have just not believed it. Oh, you know what? I did because I saw a photo of her with supposedly her new man. Yeah. They look kind of like they're siblings.
Yeah. So apparently, but what felt like 100 years back and forth, TV show after TV show, climbing over hedges and fences, screaming, families hating each other, all of this stuff, cheating. They finally got married, right? And they were separated instantly. What was the point of all of it, Kate? What was the point?
TV show notoriety? I didn't think it was going to last, to be honest. I don't think a lot of us did. that was certainly very quick. Yeah. Wow.
So they're apparently completely done. I'm like, I don't even know. I mean, I just can't get over it. But Kate, we are on episode 14. Now, there, how many fucking episodes are there going to be of this show? We're on 14 and none of them have got married yet, apart from Devon, that was like a blink of an eye. No one's married. And we're in episode 14.
There have to be at least two more regular episodes plus the tell-alls. I think it's going to be like 18 to 20.
Great. So I just want to let you know that we will have spent 20 weeks discussing this one season of 90 Day Fiancé.
They just go on and on. And then the next season of the next spinoff will be on the following weekend. Like, yeah, we won't even get a break.
No. Why don't you take us into this episode 14? It's called From This Day Forward. Who do you want to start with?
Okay, let's start with Rob and Sophie. I always have them first on my list. So Soph and her mom are on their way to the hotel. They're stopping to get lunch. And basically Sophie's mom is wondering out loud how Sophie can put up with Rob's nonsense all the time. Mm-hmm. And while they're eating lunch, Rob texts her a photo of a car he wants to get them. And this is the first contact they've had since the fight, where he was, you know, being disrespectful to her mom and everything. And she says he doesn't think he's wrong. He's not going to apologize. This is his way of just changing the subject and hoping that I just move on and don't say anything. And she tells her mom she's right now about 50-50 on marrying Rob. And how long do they have? Like a couple weeks?
Couple weeks.
Yeah.
How, listen, we're not going to waste too much energy going into these two because it is cyclical. This is just the same thing going on with them. Rob is 32 years old and sends a message going, look, this is what we could have. I get so irate and I'm trying, I do not, unfortunately, my education has failed me. I do not have the vocabulary to express the level of my anger at this guy because he's so sophomoric. He's such a child with the, oh, come on, let's be a power couple. Let's be with no idea, comprehension whatsoever it takes to build a credit score, a home, savings, money, reputation, intelligence, hard work, no clue about any of it. So like a 15-year-old, he's sending like Snapchats. Look at this car we could have together. How about you figure out how to speak to another human being and go to a job interview? How about we start with that?
Yeah, maybe call me and talk this out like an adult. And just own your part in this whole thing. So
you know what else was really annoying? They went to somewhere called Ingle Wine, which I looked up, which is like a restaurant in Inglewood in California, near LA, I guess. And it specializes in wine, and they were both drinking orange juice. That's all I want to say. I didn't understand that.
I guess that. Maybe it was mimosas. I didn't even notice what they're eating. I was just looking at their sandwiches. But yeah, that was that scene. Meanwhile, Rob is meeting his buddies, or were these casting people? I know. He's meeting his buddies at the laundromat. He's like kind of, and even that he has to boost up as some big thing he's doing. Stop. Like, oh, well, she goes running off with her mom. I have stuff to get done. So I'm going to the laundromat. And it's like, yeah, you and every other adult has laundry to do.
So embarrassed. I think that's what it is. I'm physically uncomfortable when I watch him because I cringe. I'm embarrassed because he's transparent at what he's trying to be and be a adult. Be a grown up, but he's an absolute child and it's embarrassing. These two friends turn up. I mean, they literally had dressed themselves to the nines for this camera.
They look really good.
They came in and they're like, oh, what's up, bro? We're just around the corner. It's like, yeah, right. You're looking fresh. You are looking so good.
And then they tease him about his hair and they just looked incredible. It was so fun. And I was kind of like, where have these guys been the whole time? Because they had great insight for him. They did not back up his bullshit. I didn't think, because he's telling them his whole sob story, you know, that she is not on his side. And I get that he is feeling upset about his fiance not taking his side.
Yes.
With her, with an issue with her family.
Yes.
But that's simplifying all of their issues into this one little thing. And he's kind of purposefully leaving out all of the things that he did.
Yeah.
So it's not the full picture of the whole situation. And so he tells the story to them and he kind of says a little bit of what his part was, you know, and then I said XYZ and they go, oh yeah, we know how you are. I was like, okay, so they at least are, you know, they're not just patting him on the back and saying, yeah, you're right. So.
And the juvenile speech that he says, he's like, you know, it's respect. Like, she's not going to respect me. So I'm not going to, I don't care if it's Queen of England. Like, you don't respect me. I'm not going to respect you. I can't stand that line of thinking. I can't stand that line of speech. They don't even know what they're talking about. They couldn't define respect. They don't know what they're talking. It's just like something he heard someone say on TV. And so he just repeats it. I can't. And that was it, right, with them?
Yeah, the other good thing I liked that they said was that they were questioning him in the way that we always do on the podcast of like, you've been together 3 years. How are you this clueless about the dynamics in your relationship?
Yeah.
And they asked that on camera. And I was like, yes, this is a good side character. And he's like, because I haven't had her mom in my face in my apartment in this past 3 years. And now I do. So now I know. And I'm just trying to figure out in these next few weeks if it's worth it marrying her. And it's like, dude, this is so far gone.
He's so, you know what? He's so desperate for power and control because he's so powerless. He has no career. He has no money. And that's, he tries to regain power by saying things like, you know what? I mean, I can still say no all the way up to the, until I'm there, I can still say no. It's like, shut up, you little weak monster. Anyway, that was the end of them. Like, we did see Soph and her mum, and then back in the hotel. I will say that's odd. At this point in the season, Kate, and any other seasons, that, you know, we see the coming up, we always see spoilers of women in their wedding dresses. We have seen zero. Like, of them actually, you know how we always see the spoilers of them, like, walking down the aisle? We haven't seen that with any of them.
Right. And they'll pretend that there's suspense because the bride will be crying in the back room or something. Yeah. But none of that. Yeah, you're right. I hadn't even noticed that, but you're so right. Yep.
Not one.
Yep.
Oh, anyway, so that was those two. I just give it up, these two. I honestly think this is going to be the most infuriating one, because if they got married at the end, you'd kind of be like, I mean, I guess I did what they wanted to. It's going to be a disaster, but they did. But I don't even think they will. I think it's just going to fade out. And Soph will be like, I'm just not ready. And then they'll have a fight, an argument, and they'll end.
Probably. Yeah, they'll go out on a whimper. And that's what the friend said, too, because one of the guys was like, I don't think they're going to go through with it. And the other guy was even more insightful. And he goes, no, I think they're going to go through with it. Yeah, but Rob is going to be really unhappy, and it's just going to be a bad choice.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was them. Who do you want to go to next, Polly?
I'd like to do Nikki and Justin. So we have been chatting with some of fans of the pod listeners in the chat, in our DMs, about me not being alone with finding Justin so attractive. I did, Kate, just so you know, on our Instagram account, I did just follow him. Had not followed him before. So he has some modeling photos on there on his Instagram. Definitely still attracted to him. Some of the captions that he writes are so, they honestly go and follow him, guys, because some of the stuff he puts in there is like photos from ages ago, not with Nikki, and being like, haha, these were great times, not anymore, and stuff like that. It's so funny how to go see it. So I just put, my first line is, ha ha, back in another car with these two. Unfortunately, we're back in another car, and poor darling Nikki is miserable again, and they're trying to have a good time. And, you know, they're going to go, Justin said that he had planned like every single day before she came, and this was going to be a day they were going to go horse riding. So they're going horse riding, and Nikki's just crying in the car, and she's upset, and it's because she knows in her tummy this is wrong, and it's not going to work out, and she wants it to work out.
Right. And Justin takes this moment to try out his new approach with her that he picked up from his friend at the bar the other week, where he's putting on this like macho tough guy voice and sort of just yelling at her the things he's done for her and asking her what she's bringing to the table, and learn to be in a healthy relationship. Learn not thinking all about yourself. I made you breakfast. I did this, I did that. And Nikki is so frustrated at this point. She pulls out his government name and says, what are you saying, Igor? And I was like, oh. And it's true. He is just pulling all this stuff out of his ass of, oh, you're not doing enough. And she makes such a good point. She says, well, you're hosting me. If I was hosting you, I'd be making you breakfast and getting everything set up. That's just how this goes. And she talks to us about
at straws. He's clutching at anything, like you say, for this new identity that he thinks is going to work, of like, I'm macho man and I'm going to put her in her place. It's not working.
No, it's not. And then what else? They get to the horse stable and have a serious talk by the horses. How did they get there?
They were in the car, and then when they were getting out the car, she's crying. That was horrible. And then she's like, and then he's like, I wrote down mirror joke. I can't remember what it was, but I know I laughed. What was his joke?
I remember this. I didn't write it down, but it was like, you know what they say, you don't want the mirror in front of you. You want it behind you, because if it's in front of you, you can't see her coming, or something like
oh,
that.
Like
it just made no sense. I was like that meme of the woman with the math around her trying to understand what the hell he's saying.
I loved it. But then he goes, I love this line. He goes, okay, but we only focus on sweet things. And Nikki's like, okay. So they get there and I think they ride the horses. I wasn't paying much attention. And they're getting ready to celebrate for their engagement party. So then they're by the horses and they're having a stalk. And Nicole just looks exhausted. She just looks tired. And she's like, I just want this to work. I love you and I want to marry you. And once again, I am convinced and I still believe they have a great foundation of a friendship. But that's not a foundation of friendship that's going to lead to a successful sexual and intimate relationship, because he is not on the same path as Nikki, and Nikki deserves more. And Justin wants something completely different. He wants to be, I think, with multiple women, and I think he still wants to play the field a lot. And Nikki's like, I don't want to do that anymore. I'm done. So, but she says, look, can we just have a good time? And he's like, absolutely. So they kind of come to that agreement. And that was the end of their segment. But we did see next week their engagement party. And she looks like a fucking 10. She walks in looking like Jessica Rabbit with this like dress with hourglass. And then she starts performing, which I was not prepared for. And I'm really going to enjoy that. And Justin's eyes were like, I mean, I'm hoping they at least had a good, they banged it out that night. If they didn't bang it out that night, then there's no hope. There's no hope.
Yeah, I think if they were just able to get on the same page sexually, I don't want her to have to compromise anything in the relationship, which I'm afraid might have to happen if they were to stay together.
Mm-hmm.
Or exactly. Probably would. So I don't know. But I'm excited for next episode too. That party looks entertaining.
It looks good. Who do you want next?
I would like Clayton and Annalie.
Woo-hoo! We are back and we open the scene with them shopping for Baby Pika Chocolate. So excited. I have not been able to talk about them. They open the scene with him, Clayton, and his mum in an animal shop picking up a little hat for Baby Pika Chocolate. And it just made me, I was thrilled. Thrilled.
I could feel your smiles all the way over in Texas from California. I'm like, Polly is squealing right now. Yeah, I was so happy to see them make an appearance again. And I love clothing on animals.
Love, love.
As long as they're okay with it.
As long as they're okay with it, exactly. And not pushed into it. Yes. Yeah. So it's just him and his mum. And then we definitely see a very different aside to his mum. I mean, we haven't really honestly seen any of her personality and know nothing about her apart from she lives in a closet.
Right.
But then this whole car scene, they're coming back from getting things for Baby Pika Chocolate and they're in the car and she's just kind of saying about Annalie, why isn't she, at least once a week, can she cook something more American? Where are the cheeseburgers? And I just wrote back, right, I wrote that line and I just wrote back in response. So I would have said to her, where's your own place? That's what I wanted to say to her, because all well and good, but from what we understand, Clayton pays the bills and Clayton got an apartment and moved his mother into the closet. So you can sit there and talk about his relationship, but you've got all your hoarding shit there. You live in his closet and now you're dictating how his fiance should act, behave and cook. No. And she's just saying, I don't think, you know, in the later on, she's like, I don't think she even wants to learn. You know, there's a real undertone of very unpleasant kind of stuff with this.
Really, there truly was, because she's just stuck on the fact that she's not, that Annalie isn't speaking enough English. And
now, to her point, I've mentioned that, but mentioned it because Clayton said that they both, to me, and I don't speak fluent Spanish, but to me, you know, he can communicate with her fluently, whether it's amazing Spanish or not, he can communicate with her fluently in Spanish. And he met her on a language app. So I would just presume that then she could speak pretty good English. But then again, I don't know what her level was, but she was learning English. So that's why I expected her to speak more.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Cool.
Unless it wasn't actually a language learning app. This is just speculation, guys.
But
what if it wasn't actually a language learning app and it was just some sort of website or something?
You just solved it. You just solved it, Kate. So I was so naive. How many 90 days have I watched and I didn't see my naivete? Unbelievable.
Because you're going on TV. Everyone you know is going to see it. Oh, you don't want to say, oh, we met on... you know, dorks who like to game in their room all day.com.
Exactly. Well, then we get this shock. They're getting back to the house. And I just wrote, I'm sorry, 3 days to wed. I just wrote, where, who, how? They are in the room and they're like, well, we only have 3 days. And Annalise like looks stressed beyond stressed. Her hair's all greasy. She's like going, what are we doing? Who's marrying us? Where are we getting everything? Like, have we got food? Have we got... He's like, I don't know. We just figure out when we get there. And they're packing to go to Indiana, apparently. Because where are they? They're in Kentucky. That's it. They're going to from Kentucky to Indiana, where his sister Brandy lives. And apparently they're getting married in Indiana for some reason. Don't know why there. Maybe that's where he's from. Unclear. Yeah. And they're packing and we've got 3 days. Well, what's been done? Where's her dress? Where she's like, have you booked the makeup? Have you booked my hair? And he's like, oh, you do. I mean, whatever. And the mother's listening to all of this. It's so weird. I don't know where any of this came from. I didn't know Clayton was this limited. I really didn't.
I didn't either. This was so frustrating. I don't see any reason why he couldn't have gotten this all taken care of. I will say I was a little confused why. I don't know. I just feel like, correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like if I was her, I might have like looked on Yelp a little bit for
Absolutely.
A hairdresser, right?
Absolutely.
And you can translate the page. You can make your appointment on the website. You don't even have to talk to anyone. So those couple details, I was like, I feel like I would have done a little Googling, you know, like what else are you doing?
I am so confused by her. I cannot put my finger on what she really is. I don't get her at all.
Me neither, because the previews for next week, we have her, you know, partying it up and stuff. And I'm just like, who is she? Yeah, I agree.
And the whole father thing never resolved. I don't know her personality. I don't know about, does she have siblings? Does she have this? You don't really know who she is. And the whole language thing, like there's so many questions with her. I don't know what's being hidden, but I honestly, I'm going to start the rumor now. There's a lot that's being hidden with her. There's a lot. I don't know what it is, but there's a lot. I think she will honestly turn out to be like a lot of people we've seen before. Series will air, tellers will air, and then we'll find out that she actually was married before and has a kid and they didn't want it brought up on the show. I really feel like there's that air to it all. There's something going on.
And then we'll see the OnlyFans in 6 months.
There we go. So they're packing up to go. And of course they have to pack up the pigs. So they're packing them up. They get into the car and then her first words to him is, oh, that was so great. I put it on her Instagram. She's like, we're bringing the pigs. Of course.
She's like,
duh. And then they get into the car and her first line is, you have fucking dog hair all over your shirt. I'm like, what are you do you even like him?
It doesn't seem that way a lot of the time.
Really doesn't.
She got the ick hard. Mm. So she makes a point to us that if his mom was in her place, there's no way she would have become fluent in Spanish by now. And I was like, yeah, probably not. And then they drive up there. Was there anything notable on the drive?
Just that he was being a great dad and was like, can you check on Baby Pig and Chocolate? And she was like, ugh. I mean, unacceptable, Kate.
I know. So rude. They get to this house that they're renting there that's huge and has a big indoor pool. I was like, wow, this is an interesting house. His sister Brandy shows up to help them plan things. Wow. Great side character. She gave us one thing we love in a side character is when they give us a ton of dirt and insight on the person we've been following, kind of giving us knowledge about them that are confirming things about them that we suspected or things like that. And she definitely does this. She's talking to the camera right away. She's here to play ball. And she was like, of course I'm here to help my brother. He lives with my mom, for God's sake. And I was like, ha, 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 ha. So
can we
funny.
Please talk about her opening line? Because it reminded me of her tone is brilliant. So she arrives and they seem like they probably were really close in childhood and maybe drifted a bit. I don't know. But there is a closeness with them. But he opens the door. He's like, oh, my arch nemesis, my sister. And she's like, shut up. And they hug. And she goes, you left your keys in the trunk, and walks past him. And it reminds me of when Margaret Josephs in Real Housewives of New York says to Danielle, your husband's in the pool, and walked past her. What's that tone?
It's that same tone of like, hey, dumbass.
It's so funny. It's great.
And so this is another line of hers that I was cackling at. She goes, so he asked me to find a llama or an alpaca, which is absurd and not possible, but I did try.
She really is great. They underutilized her. I hope we see her a lot. You're right, Kate. She is great.
I hope she's running the tell-all instead of Sean. And so then she asked them about the officiant thing and, of course, is shocked they don't have one. And he's like, oh, well, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Anyone could do it. Anyone who's there could do it. And she's already sees where this is going. She goes in her confessional. I didn't say anything because I knew he'd ask me and I will not do it. I will leave. I'll pretend I have diarrhea. I will get out of there because I'm not the one doing it.
Yeah, absolutely. She's great. She goes, so what have you got? You said this was great. She goes, so yeah, you're right. I didn't really clock until we're talking about how many great lines Brandy had. Brandy goes, so, all right, we're looking here at what you've got. So far for wedding decorations, you said you've got plates.
She came in ready to show the world her dumbass brother.
And he goes, oh, it's and flowers. And flowers. I'm like, really? You have flowers? Where is this taking place? Why is it Indiana? I mean, they have to have some idea of where they must know where it's taking place. Maybe it's at Brandy's house or something. That's why they're doing it in Indiana.
Yeah, that's the thing. Is the venue booked or is the venue a family member's house? Yeah, it must be someone's backyard.
That's what I think it is. So then they kind of go on and then Anna Lee is just like, we'll ask her about the bachelorette party. And so she's like, yeah, we're just gonna do like a fire back, you know, bonfire in the backyard, whatever. And he's like, okay. And then she's like to the camera, actually, we're having a stripper that's just going down to his socks, but I'm not telling him that. I was like, what?
If Clayton knew that, honey.
And then we see the preview for next week, and that stripper, I was like, no, 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 and no.
Was he a cop? Is he going to be a cop stripper?
I think he did come in a SWAT. Yeah, he came in a SWAT or a cop or something. And then his dick was just right in Anna Lee's face. It's just too much. It's just too much.
Oh, yeah. I can't wait for next week. This couple, it's going to be a wild time. You have Clayton doing his macho man thing. I'm the boss and I say no men at this party. Shut up.
All 5'5" of them. Yeah. Good luck.
Short king.
Yeah,
short jester. Okay, so we have Sam and Citra. How about that?
Yeah. I don't have a lot of lines, but my first line is the sisters and the dads are in the car to go to Agent Mulder's house. I mean Sam's dad. I wrote in this, I love Sam's dad. I think he's lovely. Yeah. He's tried to make an effort with the language. He's been very accommodating. He is being warm,
non-judgmental.
Non-judgmental, and all these people usually are. I will say there are two words that I did put in big block capitals. Paper plates. Now I'm just perplexing to me. Perplexing. Anyway, they go over to his house and they get food, and Citra's dad seems very nice, and they are getting food, and you know, the sisters literally, I think it was cheese and like macaroni and cheese and chicken sticks or whatever, or chicken, I don't know what they're called, chicken
mashed potatoes,
yeah, gravy or something. And they took literally like nothing. They took like a tiny amount, and Sam's dad was like, what? And they sit down. They talk a little bit about the legalization of weed and how it isn't legal in Indonesia, and it's a very, very serious crime. And of course, because Citra's dad is a police officer. And then they get to the whole conversation. Another scene is them sat outside, and they get on to the whole thing with the diversion, and the fact that Sam may be facing jail time, possible jail time.
Up to a year, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm.
And the conclusion of that was actually pretty, I mean, it was half in and out, but I think it was the dad just saying, well, okay, but you love my daughter or something. It wasn't harsh, right? I can't really remember how it ended.
It seemed like they have, Herman and Sam have somewhat of a relationship just from talking on the phone.
Yeah.
Because Sam tells us he feels so bad disappointing Herman because of all the nice talks they've had and everything.
Yeah.
And I think Herman said something about that. You love my daughter. But then we see in the previews for next week, Herman talking to Citra about it. If I asked you not to be with him, would you leave him? Sort of that sort of conversation. My favorite part of their whole segment, honestly, was when Herman was lightly critiquing the food by saying, oh, the food's so different here. The food that we normally eat has flavor and vegetables. That was the best.
So you just eat a lot of potato then.
So good.
It's true.
All right.
You pick whether you want to go into and take us into Gino and Jasmine or Ashley and Manuel.
Okay. Ashley and Manuel. So this is the happiest we've seen Manuel this entire series. He is like a little kid at Disneyland because Ashley surprises him with a trip to Niagara Falls. And apparently this has been on his bucket list or something. He's always wanted to see it. And he is so, so happy. They're having a great time. And she is telling him she hopes that taking him to do things like this will help him to adapt to his new home, make him feel like he really lives here and, you know, enjoy all the things around him and things like that. And somehow this ends up being a talk about finances that he brings up. Mm-hmm. He brings up her spending again. Mm. And this part made me mad.
I know what you're going to say. Go for it.
So she points out that he knew he was moving to the States to move in with her for a full year prior to him coming. And he still did not manage to save even $1 for the move. He has no money.
His response was, yeah, go ahead. Yeah. Go, okay. Because I wrote down the same thing.
Yeah. And his reply, all the money is in the United States. Why would I need to bring money there? What are you saying? What are you saying? Listen to yourself.
I wrote the exact same line down. Why should I bring money to the US? People still think that America is the streets are lined in gold. They really do. They still believe that. They believe in the American dream. And guys, guess what? The American dream is dead. I am an immigrant. I moved here. I get it. I get the thing that we're sold about America, especially someone like California, Los Angeles. Everyone's a movie star. Streets are lined in gold and glitter, and everyone gets everything, and it's so wealthy and wonderful. And no, doesn't work like that at all, especially if you're an immigrant. Yeah, that was really hard.
It was a wild thing to say. And it was very revealing. She really showed us he did not bring any, because that's kind of unclear a lot of times when we are watching these shows. It's like, okay, they arrived here. How much do they have? Do they have anything in savings? And she laid it out. She said, you didn't save a single dollar. Wow. And then after this argument, they make up and they go get sprayed. They do the Maid of the Mist thing. Mm-hmm. And that fixed everything. Ashley says, now it's all fine. Ashley says, I feel like this is washing away all the bad energy. And I was like, okay, girl.
She is some, she's like, you know, and we're both Aquarius or whatever she said. Sorry, I don't remember exactly what she said. She's like, you know, because we're this and this, so we're water signs and blah, blah, blah. So we're all fine. Everything's fine. Everything's fine. I mean, kookadook. Kookadook.
Wow. That sex must be so
good. It must be something. It must be. He has, as Bethany Frankel called Tom D'Agostino, he must have a chrome cock. He must have something that is so unbelievable. Dick shoots diamonds. That's what she said about Tom D'Agostino. Because why is everyone sleeping with him? And it's like, this guy, what is it that his penis is doing to Ashley?
I don't know. It's kind of like Jasmine and Gino when they go, sure, when you go and do these fun sightseeing things, things seem nice because you're very happy and there's nothing to be worried about in that moment when you're looking at a beautiful rainbow.
Yeah.
But please remember all the other stuff. Like, come on. So we'll see how their wedding goes.
Speaking of Gino and Jasmine.
Here we go. They're back in Michigan and they're cooking together.
Now, we remember the last time we saw them cooking when we were in Panama, and apparently had the right utensils, and they were chopping
proper
up
equipment.
Equipment. And I put on our Instagram just the most beautiful scene of Jasmine's face deciding whether she wanted to commit a homicide with a 7-inch butcher knife in her hand, staring daggers into the Gino, just the back of Gino's head. Because it gets brought up again about the $2,000 she got from Dane for her ass. And she says in the confessional, it's all my fault. It's all my fault. I get it, it's all my fault. Then we get more into what happened with this Gino's ex. So at the first or second season when we met them, we found a disgusting, violating thing happened when Gino sent his ex-wife or ex-girlfriend naked photos for some reason that Jasmine had sent him. So Jasmine sent him, which every couple does, and then he had decided to send them to his ex. He claims to say, oh, look at the hot girl I have now and the state of you, which just says disgusting things about him. And then we find out in this that they start going back and forth about their ex's conversations. You know, this is never going to go well with these two. And we find out, Jasmine tells us in confessional, that this woman blackmailed her. This woman sent these photos, naked photos of her, to her job, which is illegal, by the way. You're not allowed to possess these. So anyway, sent them to a job. She was a teacher, Jasmine, when we met her, and she got fired due to it. And, you know, that kind of makes sense why Gino is so easy to pay for everything for so long, because she lost her job because of his ex and because of what he did. He sent photos of her. And so they're having this conversation in the kitchen and it's awful. And this idiot says, well, did you do anything to provoke her? And I understand her anger. I felt it boiling in my veins. Imagine it's like someone coming up to you and punching you around the face and then saying, well, you probably did something to deserve it, though, didn't you?
And those camera people just kept zooming in on that knife.
I know.
So things escalate, obviously, from there. Jasmine is livid and she pulls out what she knows will hurt him the most, by shouting, "I wish I would have fucked Dane before I came here, just like we used to, because at least with him, I know it's going to be good. And with you, I don't know it's going to be good. So I wish I was having sex with him right now, not you." Da, 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 that whole thing. And
he retaliates as well. He's like, my ex, I wish to say my exes because they were better than you. Oh, gee.
They get such nasty things in when they're fighting. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. At first, this scene felt a little clunky to me. At first, it was like, it felt like production was like, okay, you guys already talked this out, but we need footage of you talking about this or something. Like, it just felt like I wasn't quite sure if it organically came about, the conversation. But once it got going, it's like, okay, she's not acting here. She's really upset.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I have a potentially controversial take here, but
do it.
It was horrible, horrible, horrendous. Mm-hmm. What Gino did with the nudes. I agree. She should have left him then.
Absolutely.
That was absolutely terrible. And I'm 100% on her side with that.
Yes.
But
having said that,
if they are really going to be married and live together and move past all of that shit, then they have to actually move past it. And she can't just use that as her trump card in every single argument.
Absolutely.
Just like she told us in the confessional, this situation is her fault. Mm-hmm. She's still close with her ex. How close? Unclear, but close enough that he gave her $2,000 to get this butt implant thing. And if it really is no big deal, then why wouldn't she just have talked to Gino about it at the time? Mm-hmm. Why hide it so long if nothing's wrong with it? Because she knew she shouldn't be doing it. But she's trying to pass it off like, no, it's fine for Dane and I to be friends. He's just my good, generous friend that gave me $2,000 for nothing in return for my butt implants. But it's remember the horrible thing you did. And trust me, what he did was way worse.
Yeah.
But at this point, you know, you're starting this future together. You can't keep bringing that up in every argument.
No, you're completely right. She made her choice.
Yeah.
So if you forgive him for that, then you can't keep bringing it up. And then she screams and goes up the stairs, very reminiscent of Goldie and his ex. I can't remember her name anymore. When she was going up the stairs saying, "Who is against the queen will die."
Larissa.
Larissa, that's it. Yeah. So then she's crying in the bathroom. Hopefully the toilet had been flushed. And then Gino's like, "I just need to wait it out with her." Then he goes up and basically they make up. It's just
the voicemail.
And then she goes, "I'm going to do a voice note to Dane. I'm not going to be friends with him anymore." And she does it. She's like, "Hi, by the way, you know, I'm getting married. Well, can't really see you anymore, but anyway, bye.
You're an amazing person. I love you so much. I'll talk to you after we're done filming."
And then they were fine, by the way, Kate. Fine.
They were. And I don't know, Polly, it's getting more and more clear to me that this is all part of their role play dynamics. I think it is because they make up and then Gino pleads with her, "Can we please do baby talk?" And Jasmine authoritatively says, "No, later. You don't deserve it right now." Mm. And he's like, "Okay." And I'm like, she is his dom.
Hang on, though. That's interesting. What do you mean by baby talk?
I mean that he wants to like role play, like he's the weak little baby. And
so
she's
interesting, because do you know, I when you were saying that, I was like, that's your take. You know, my take, I thought he was talking. That's why I actually think what he was trying to say, could be completely wrong, is that, can we talk about having a baby? Because he's been on about talking about having a baby. So when he said baby, he's like, can we have baby talk now?
Oh, my mind went to that, because do you remember when they used to do it all the time. They would do those baby talk voices.
Did they? I don't remember that at all.
And she'd be like, "Oh, man, did you Gino?"
I remember that. I do remember that. Okay.
And so
it could have been either. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
My mind went to this, you know, dirty sex place. But
no, that's where mine went. No, instantly I went to that. I was like, oh, baby talk, like blah, 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 blah. But then I thought, oh, but hang on, isn't he trying to, because his whole thing in these past couple of episodes has been like, we need a baby. I want a baby.
Okay.
So, yeah, I don't know.
I wouldn't think he would bring that up when he's trying to make it up to her, though. Mm. So I think that's the other part that has me questioning that. But yeah, it could be that too.
I think it probably was like the baby talk. He's like, because now we're like, so we can talk like this now. Yeah, yeah, I think that's kind of what he was trying to do. But I just, I've been in shitty ass relationships, but jeez, that's exhausting. How long do you put up? You're screaming at each other and saying terrible things. But people think they thrive, or they think they thrive in contentious relationships like that. It's just awful.
Passion equals romance, like passion equals love, or fighting equals love. Yeah. Yeah. I just wouldn't be able to lay down the horrible things they said to me in the heat of the moment. I'd be like, hey, remember when we were fighting and you said this really, really, really cutting, mean thing? Yeah, let's talk.
It was half an hour later after he had said, I wish, you know what, my exes were better in bed than you. And she said, I wish I'd had sex with my ex before I came to see you. 30 minutes later, it's all right.
Yeah, I don't get that. So I don't know. That's where I'm like, maybe it's just their thing to like.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Is that everyone?
I think so. Asha Manuel, Jasmine Gino, Nikki Justin, Rob Sophie. So, yeah.
It must be episode 15 next week, guys. We've got to get some of these weddings done. So if we saw Clayton being 3 days before, they must be getting married next episode. But why are we not seeing any? I don't know. We see the bachelorette party, but I would presume they're getting married next episode. Maybe, or it's hopefully just a bachelorette. I don't know. Right. But it seems like Sam and Citra definitely have a timeline, because the dad's there and the sisters are there for the wedding. So we do see that he's going to meet with his mother next week to go and talk about going into the Islamic faith. I mean, Nicole and Justin, we're going to have the engagement party. Sophie and Rob, I just don't want to see them anymore. Like, there's just no point to watch them. And I don't think we'll see Jasmine and Gino's wedding on this season. It doesn't seem like they haven't even spoken about. Yeah,
they haven't. They just fucked off to Miami the whole time. So
I don't think they're planning it. Yeah, it's all very confusing. But guess what, TLC, we can do two more max. Because that's another 5 weeks. Three-part reunion, three-part tell-all, and two more. Over another month of these people, we're done. All right, and we're done with this episode. So, guys, as we said, you can go and find us on Instagram at 10 to 11 Care Podcast. Email us at 10to11carepod@gmail.com. We respond to every single email and every single DM you send us. So please feel free to reach out. We absolutely adore hearing from everyone. And wherever you listen, we love hearing from you. So please, please do that. Also, our Patreon, very, very quickly. Patreon supports our podcast. It helps Kate and I do what we do. I mean, some weeks we're doing 3 episodes, some weeks we're doing 4 episodes. So $5 a month, you can join our Patreon. You go to patreon.com. The link is in the show notes. It's dead easy. It's $5 a month. You get, if you join right now, you're going to get all of the back catalog of us deep diving into documentaries that we love and we think you'll love. It's nothing to the 90 Day World, nothing to do with our usual programming. It's documentaries in the weird world and wonderful pop culture, unsolved murders, bizarre deaths. We've got poltergeists, cults. We have cults. We always have our cults. We've got so much on there, guys. You have hours and hours and hours of content right now that you can listen to for just $5 a month. So patreon.com/tenderlovingcarepodcast. Just search for it. You will find it there. And Friday, of course, we have our Bravo show, all things Housewives. We have a lot to discuss, a lot coming up. And some Bravo news. So I think that's it, Kate.
I think it is. Thank you all for listening. We appreciate you being here. Tell a friend about the podcast. That's a free way that you can help spread the word and help us out. Absolutely. And we will talk to you very soon. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. We'll be right back.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.